This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Wa ma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we continue with the narration about Fatah Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the Muslims to prepare for war, but told them to keep it secret. One day, Rasulullah ﷺ called Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu, and Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu, and told them, go to this place called Rawbat Khas, where you will find a woman who has a letter. Bring that letter to me. Ali radiallahu anhu and the two men rode on horseback and found the woman. They said to her, give us the letter. She said, I have no letter. So then Ali said to her, give us the letter or we will strip you and take it. Then she pulled out the letter from her hair and gave it to him. The letter was from Hatib ibn Abi Batla, Balta, informing the Quraysh about the plans of Rasulullah. When he read the letter, Rasulullah asked Hatib ibn Balta, what is this? Hatib said, Ya Rasulullah, please don't hurry in deciding about me. I am not from Quraysh. I am an outsider with alliance with them. Your companions, your Sahaba have clans in Makkah who would take care of their families and their wealth. I wanted to do the Quraysh a favor so that they would not harm my family. His mother lived in Makkah. And I did not do this to commit kufr, nor from my religion. Nor did I choose to leave my deen after Iman. So he said, I am not a kafir, I am not a murtad. Rasulullah said, he is telling you the truth. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, Ya Rasulullah, permit me to cut off his head. Cut off the head of this munafiq. Rasulullah said, he has witnessed the battle of Badr. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has looked at the people of Badr and said, O people of Badr, do whatever you like, for I have forgiven you. Now this shows us also the importance and the special status of the people of Badr. So the Nabi ﷺ did not punish him and just left him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about this incident in Surah Mumtahina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء تلقون إليهم بالمودة وقد كفروا بما جاءكم من الحق يخرجون الرسول وإياكم أن تؤمنوا بالله ربكم إن كنتم خرجتم جهادا في سبيلي وابتغاء مرضاتي تسرون إليهم بالمودة وأنا أعلم بما أخفيتم وما أعلنتم وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, which means, O you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies as friends, showing affection towards them while they have disbelieved in what has come to you of the truth, which is Islam, and have driven out Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and yourselves from your homeland, because you believe in Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, your Lord, your Rabb. If you have come forth to strive in my cause and to seek my good pleasure, then do not take these disbelievers and these enemies of Islam as your friends. You show friendship to them in secret, while I am all aware of what you conceal and what you reveal. And whosoever of you Muslims does that, then indeed he has gone far astray, far away from the straight path. Rasulullah ﷺ marched forth in the month of Ramadan, but as they neared Makkah, Rasulullah ﷺ broke his fast and ordered the army also to break their fast. He took a cup of water and drank in front of them as an example. They reached Marra Dahran, where they saw many Arak trees. This is the tree from which they make miswak. The fruit is called kubbas. Rasulullah ﷺ told them to take the black ones, which are the best. They said to him, Ya Rasulullah, You must have been a shepherd. And this is because these trees grow outside Makkah and shepherds eat these fruits. He said, yes, I was a shepherd and so was every Nabi. The importance of being a shepherd of sheep, there is a lecture of mine specifically on that. So those who are interested can look at that, inshallah. People laughed. So people started climbing up, and Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu also climbed up one of those trees. And he was a slim man. So his shins got exposed and they were thin. So people were laughing at his shins. Rasulullah noticed and he said, you are laughing at his shins. On the day of judgment, they will be heavier on the scale than the mountain of Uhud. This is one of the very, very important salient features of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he, every single thing he said and did was down continuously. His whole his talk and what he said and did, everything was dawah. So anytime somebody said something, he would give it a meaning from the context of dawah. Subhanallah. The army was 10,000 strong. But the Quraysh had no idea that they were coming, because Rasulullah ﷺ had made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, hide us from them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that. But Rasulullah ﷺ, on the other hand, knew about every movement of the Quraysh. Rasulullah ﷺ had scouts and they were bringing him intelligence, as well as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending him information through Jibreel alayhi salam. The Sahaba were totally loyal to Rasulullah ﷺ and would never reveal anything about him or the Muslims to the enemy. Today, unfortunately, this is a major problem with the Muslims, and Muslims betray other Muslims to their enemies. I remind myself and you that Islam was successful because people practiced Islam, not because they knew about Islam. Knowing about the deen is important only to the extent that you need to know about it to practice it. But if you know about it and you do not practice it, then that knowledge has no value. As a matter of fact, that knowledge is a problem, because that knowledge will become a witness against the person who has that knowledge but did not practice it. Abu Sufyan, Fudail bin Waraqa and Hakim bin Hizam, they came out of Makkah to scout and try to get some information by asking travelers. At night, they were close to the Muslim army and they saw the fires of the army, the cooking fires. Abu Sufyan asked his companions, who are these? And Fudail said, they are Khuza, preparing for war. Abu Sufyan said, they are not so many. Now, while they were talking and so on and standing, unknown to them, the guards of the Muslim army came upon them and they caught them. And they took them to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, who was there, he saw Abu Sufyan and he put him on the mule of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rushed to take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu saw them and he tried to kill Abu Sufyan while Abbas radiallahu anhu was trying to save him. When they reached Rasulullah ﷺ, the argument continued until Abbas said, Umar, you are so keen to kill him because he is not from Banu Adi. Now, Banu Adi was the sub-tribe of the Quraysh to which Sayyidina Umar belonged. And then he said, but you know that he is from Banu Abd Manaf. And this is the tribe of Quraysh who Abu Sufyan belonged to, Banu Umayya. And also called Banu Abd Manaf, and these were they were closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar bin al-Khattab said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness, he's saying to Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah knows, is Allah is witness, your iman, meaning the iman of Al-Abbas, is dearer to me than if my own father had become Muslim. Because your iman is dearer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the iman of my father. So in this beautiful hadith, in this beautiful story, we see how Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is giving Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib a lesson in Al-Wala wal-Bara, friendship and enmity for the sake of Allah. Meaning, what pleases me is what pleases Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what makes me angry is what displeases Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not saying this or doing this for myself. I am saying this and doing this because this is the situation with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it pleases him or it angers him, whichever the case might be. So they brought them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come back, bring them back in the morning. In the morning, Rasulullah ﷺ accepted the Islam of Fudail bin Waraka and Hakim bin Hizam. They both accepted Islam, and Nabi ﷺ accepted their Islam and he sent them away. Then he said to Abu Sufyan, isn't it time that you testified? Isn't it time that you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? Isn't it time that you testified that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah? Abu Sufyan said, you are generous and honorable. If there were other gods other than Allah, they would have helped us now. So he accepted La ilaha illallah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, isn't it time that you accepted that I am the messenger of Allah? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I still find something in my heart against that. So Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib got sick of this. He got tired of this. And he said, woe to you, Abu Sufyan, accept Islam before somebody chops off your head. So Abu Sufyan said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So he became Muslim, but you know, in the kind of, I mean, he wasn't forced to it, but he put himself in a situation where it was almost under duress, but he accepted Islam. And of course, as we know, he remained a beautiful Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and true to his word to the end of his days. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave instructions to Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu to hold Abu Sufyan and wait at the mountain pass entering Makkah. Rasulullah ﷺ wanted him to see the overwhelming force of his army so that it would end any desire to fight against him. And in that way, there would be no bloodshed. As they stood there watching the army march past, they saw each tribe separate with their banner and commander. As they came past, Abu Sufyan would ask Abbas radiallahu, who they were, and he would tell them. So Abbas told them, this is Al-Ghifar. Abbas radiallahu said to them, this is Al-Ghifar. Abu Sufyan would say, I have nothing to do with Al-Ghifar. Then Aslam and Muzayna and so on. And the same reply, I have nothing to do with them. Then came a battalion which was different and clearly superior to all others. Abu Sufyan asked who they were. Al-Abbas radiallahu said, these are the Ansar. The battalion was commanded by Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu. Sa'ad radiallahu saw Abu Sufyan standing there, and he said, Al-Yawm Yawm Al-Malhamah. He said, today is the day of slaughter. Now, people reported this to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, Sa'ad is mistaken. Today is the day of Marhamah. Al-Yawm Al-Yawm Al-Marhamah. The day of Rahmah, the day of mercy. The day when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will glorify the Kaaba. He then ordered for the banner to be taken away from Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, and to be given to his son Khais bin Sa'ad bin Ubadah. Now the wisdom of this is clear, because Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu was the head of Al-Aws, and to take the banner away from him would have been seen as an insult to him and to the tribe, and would have antagonized Al-Aws. But when it was given to his son, there was no scope for anyone to be offended. At the same time, Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to send a clear message to everyone that it was not a time to settle scores or personal vendettas, and that the rules of war would be followed in all respects. Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to avoid bloodshed and to preserve the sanctity of the haram. Rasulullah ﷺ entered peacefully and there was no resistance. Rasulullah ﷺ was entering Makkah after 8 years. They had spent 13 years suffering all kinds of torture, physical and mental, in Makkah before being driven out altogether. And their wealth had been misappropriated. But when Rasulullah ﷺ entered Makkah, he entered with humbleness, reciting Suratul Fatah, his head lowered so far down that his blessed beard was almost touching the saddle of the camel. He was wearing a black turban and had a white banner. He made tawaf of Al-Kaaba and then called on Uthman bin Talha to radiallahu anhu to bring the key of the Kaaba. Uthman bin Talha's family, radiallahu anhu, Banu Zuddah, are the keepers of the key of the Kaaba to this day. Uthman radiallahu anhu's mother at first refused to give the key, but then later she gave it to him. He brought it to Rasulullah, who opened the Kaaba. There was an image of a pigeon made of wood, some statue, which he destroyed. There were pictures of angels, or supposedly angels, and one supposed to be of Ibrahim alayhi salam using divining arrows. Rasulullah said, "May Allah kill them. They have shown our elder doing something which he would never have done." Then he ordered Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to wipe out all the paintings and clean all the walls. Then he came out and stood in the doorway, as you know, which is high up, and he called the Quraysh and the people of Makkah. At this time they all came to him respectfully to listen to him, a far cry from their arrogance when he called them for the first time when he received wahi from Safa. When he went to Zamzam to make wudu, the Sahaba with him rushed to take the water dripping from him from his arms as barakah. The people of Makkah saw this and they said, "We have never seen such a king before, whose people literally they respect him so much." Rasulullah was the same person, but today, on that day, because he had power, they came to listen to him. Rasulullah spoke to the people and he said, "Alhamdulillah, sadaqa wa'ada wa nasara 'abda wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda." He said, "Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sadaqa wa'ada, who was true to his promise, wa nasara 'abda, and he helped his slave, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda, and he defeated the confederates by himself alone. Families of anyone killed accidentally," he said, this is what he said, and then he said, "families of anyone killed accidentally will be paid blood money of 100 camels each. All privilege of ancestry and pride that existed in Jahiliyyah are finished. All these privileges are beneath my feet." And remember, the person saying this is one of the privileged. For somebody who comes from a so-called lower class or lower caste, to abolish privileges is understandable, because he never benefited from it, he could not benefit from it, so he wants to remove this class system. But for somebody who is the privileged, who is one of the most privileged, or the most privileged, yet he wants to abolish the system, shows integrity and shows truthfulness and shows true belief in the principle of equality. Rasulullah had the key of the Kaaba in his hand. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Rasulullah, combine for us the honors of feeding the Hujjaj and the key of the Kaaba." Now he's saying feeding the Hujjaj because this was the privilege of the Banu Hashim, the actual family of Rasulullah, where they used to feed the Hujjaj. And they would make this soup and crush bread in it and feed it to the Hujjaj. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Let us also hold the key of the Kaaba." But Rasulullah didn't agree. He called Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu and he said, and these are the ancestral people who hold the key of the Kaaba. He called him, he gave him the key of the Kaaba and he said, "Take it and keep it forever. Nobody will take it from you except a tyrant." So to this day, when the Kaaba is washed, in the name of the King of Saudi Arabia, in the name of the Khadim al-Haramain, the custodian of the holy mosques, a person goes and takes the key from the home of Sayyidina Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu, his descendants, and then the Kaaba is opened and cleaned and then the key is handed back to them. Rasulullah then went around the Kaaba on his camel and he would point with his bow at idols and they would fall down. He did this with the 360 idols, which was to surround the Kaaba. And he would recite, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَذَّهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. He says, say, the haq has come, the truth has come, and falsehood has disappeared, and it is the nature of falsehood to disappear. Then he asked the Quraysh, he said to them, what do you think I will do with you? Remember, he's talking to people who had mercilessly persecuted him and his Sahaba and had stolen his wealth and done all kinds of things to him, including they were the people who were responsible for the death of his daughter, of the Alana. But when he asked them, what do you think I will do with you? They said, Anta Akhil Kareem wa Ibnu Akhil Kareem. You are our honored brother and you are the son of our honored brother. So, relationships change depending on who has power. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to them, Idhabu fa'antumutulaqa. He said, go, you are among those who are released. He said to them, go, for you are the released ones. You are the ones who are released. Now, think about that. These were the captives of Rasulullah SAW. And the norm of the time was that when you conquered a city or conquered a place, the men were either killed or enslaved, and the women and children were taken also as slaves. So he could have killed them, he could have enslaved them, but he released them. So they were called At-Tulaqa, the captives of Rasulullah ﷺ, the released slaves of Rasulullah ﷺ. And he did not even take any ransom. He did not even ask them to compensate for what they had stolen from him. This is the dignity of the Nabi alayhi salam. And what always amazes me is that even the Sahaba, like Ali bin Mayn, nobody asked him for compensation for what they lost in Makkah. The people became, that's the reason why they're called At-Tulaqa. Now, there was a blacklist of people, however. Abdullah bin Qatal, Abdullah bin Abi Sarh, Naqis bin Sababa, Al-Huwayrith bin Naqif, a woman called Sara, a woman called Fartana, Arnab. So, four men and three women. About them, Rasulullah ﷺ said, execute them even if you see them hanging from the cover, the kiswa of the Kaaba. From the cover of the Kaaba. So, because these people there, the crimes that they had committed were of such a nature. Now, Abdullah bin Qatl became Muslim and made Hijrah. Then Rasulullah ﷺ sent him to collect sadaqah, zakat, along with an Ansari man and a slave. Abdullah told the slave to prepare lunch, which he did not. So Abdullah, in a fit of rage, killed him. Then, fearing punishment, he apostated and ran away back to Makkah and kept two slave women who he would teach to sing poetry blaspheming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His two singers, Fartana and Arnab, were on this list because of their blasphemy. Abdullah bin Abi Sarah used to write Quran for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was one of the scribes. Then he apostated and used to say that he would change the meanings. Naqis bin Sababa's brother was a Muslim and was killed by mistake by an Ansari man in the battle of Banu Mustalaq. Naqis became Muslim to collect the blood money of his brother. Then he ran away and apostated. When Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu sent the daughters of Rasulullah to Medina, Huwayrith bin Naqis was the one who provoked the camel and he stabbed Zainab radiallahu anha, and both Zainab radiallahu anha and Fatima radiallahu anha fell from the camel. And as a result of that, Zainab radiallahu anha had a miscarriage and she lost her baby. And soon after reaching Medina, she also passed away. Sarah was a slave girl who used to sing again blasphemous things against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Qatl was found. He was seen hanging from the kiswa of the Kaaba, and he was killed. Fartana was also executed. Arnab became Muslim and was saved. Abdullah bin Abi Salah took refuge with Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, who was his milk brother. He was his brother because of because they nursed the same lady nursed both of them. So he was his brother. So then Uthman radiallahu anhu took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Abi Salah said, "I came to give you bayah, ya Rasulullah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not respond. Then he said it a second time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept silent. Then he said it a third time. And after his third time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his bayah and he became Muslim. Now, when he left, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people around him, "Was there nobody among you who was wise enough to get up and kill him when you saw that I was silent?" The Ansar said, "Ya Rasulullah, if you had only made a signal, we would have killed him." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Prophets do not kill by giving signals." So this whole thing of truthfulness and integrity is so predominantly visible in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Abi Salah, however, remained a good Muslim and held some high positions of authority during the Khilafah of Umar bin al-Khattab and Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and died in sujood in Salatul Fajr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this great honor that he died in Salah, in Sajda. Naqis was killed by his cousin and his son was also killed. And Sarah was forgiven. So even the so-called blacklist, not everyone who was on it, was executed. Abu Qahafa, the father of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, took Abu Bakr Siddiq's sister to the top of a hill and asked her to describe what she was seeing, because he was blind. His eyesight was very weak, almost blind. She told him that she was seeing a huge sea of black. "Those are the horsemen," he said. Then she said, "I see a man going back and forth before them. That is the commander giving instructions," he said. "Now they are dispersing," she said. He said, "They have received their instructions and so they are leaving." And he said, "Let us get home before we are caught." But as they came down from the hill, they met some of the cavalry, and one of them tore off a necklace that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's sister was wearing. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought his father Abu Qahafa to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to him, "Why did you bring the Shaykh here? I would have come." And imagine, this is the respect that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that even his father, though the father was not even a Muslim, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time was the conqueror, despite that, he said to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Why did you bring the Shaykh here? I would have come. I would have come to him." SubhanAllah, how he loved Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then passed his hand across the chest of Abu Qahafa and he became Muslim. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's sister then told him about her necklace. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called out to the people and asked the one who took the necklace to return it, as his sister was a Muslim and her property was protected. But nobody came forward. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then said to his sister, "Today the level of trust is low, so leave the matter." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu to give adhan and ordered him to stand on top of the Kaaba to do it. One of the Muhaddithin said, he did it to enrage the Mushrikeen. Rasulullah ﷺ did this to destroy all systems of caste and creed and color discrimination, all forms of discrimination, and to establish the fact that only those who have piety, only those who have taqwa, are the highest in the sight of Allah. Not white or black or anything else, only those who have piety are the people who are the highest in the sight of Allah. Sayyid bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu said the night of the conquest was not a night of celebration in the normal sense, because normally they would be dancing and drinking and whatnot. The Sahaba did not do any of that. The Sahaba were making tawaf around the Kaaba and making takbir and tahleel all night. They were saying Allahu Akbar and they were saying Alhamdulillah all night. Takbir and tahleel all night. Abu Sufyan went to his wife Hind and asked her, "Do you think this is from Allah?" She replied, "Yes, this is from Allah." Later Abu Sufyan met Rasulullah and he said to him, and Nabi said to him, "You asked Hind if this is from Allah. And she told you that it is from Allah." Abu Sufyan said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah." He declared Islam wholeheartedly after that, because he had no more doubt left. Rasulullah then declared Makkah as Al-Haram, which is a sanctuary in which fighting, hunting game and cutting trees is prohibited. And the same applies to Medina in the area around Al-Masjid al-Nabawi. رَبَّنَا فَقْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّكَ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا